Listening Test 6, Part 2. You will hear a businesswoman called Jessica Morton talking on the radio about a car journey she made across a desert in Australia. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Hi, my name is Jessica Morton, and today I'm going to talk about what happened to me when I had to travel across the country on business earlier this year. It was a Tuesday morning in the heat of early summer when I had a phone call from my boss saying there would be a meeting the following Thursday afternoon and that it was vital for me to attend. The only problem was that it would be in the town of Alice Springs, in the centre of the country. And I was at a conference in the southern city of Adelaide. An online search revealed that all flights there were already booked. Then I checked the rail timetable, and at first sight it seemed there was a train to Alice Springs every Sunday and Wednesday. But then I noticed the Wednesday service was only in winter. Not really fancying a 21-hour bus ride, I decided to hire a car. I drove north to the town of Port Augusta and from there set off along the long, straight Stuart Highway through the desert. Passing a sign saying Alice Springs 1,050 kilometres, I reminded myself to fill up at the small town of Glendambo as it would be 252 kilometres until the next petrol station. As I drove into Glendambo, I saw a sign that said Population Sheep, 22,500. Flies, 2 million. Humans, 30. That made me smile. But a couple of hours after the stop, I started to feel bored. I was tempted to stop and have a look at a dry river valley, and further on there were some trees. But it wasn't until a hill became visible that I eventually turned off the highway to have a quick look at the countryside. I travelled several kilometres along a firm, flat track of red sand, passing a farmhouse and an old abandoned car, and was about to turn round when suddenly I had to brake sharply. I wouldn't have been that surprised to see kangaroos running across the track, as I'd seen some near the main road earlier on, but these were wild horses. Later, I recalled hearing there are lots of them in the desert, and camels too. At that moment, though, my only concern was the fact I couldn't get the car moving. The front wheels were spinning, sinking deeper into the soft sand. So I got out of the air-conditioned car and into oven-like heat. I needed something like rugs to place between the sand and the wheels to make them grip, but I didn't have any, so I used some clothes instead. That failed, and I realised I needed help. I knew my mobile phone would be useless in such a place, and of course emailing would be impossible too. I turned the car radio on, just to hear some voices, really, but there was no sound from it. I was just too far from civilization. That shocked me, and at sunset, to avoid using up all the remaining petrol, which would have been a disaster, I turned off the air conditioning. It was still fiercely hot, and I couldn't sleep. But at least I'd had the sense to bring plenty of water and even a little food. The next morning, I set off for the farmhouse I'd seen. When I finally arrived, exhausted, I found it was empty, with broken windows and no water or electricity. And I began to wish I'd followed the rule of staying with your vehicle if you want to survive in the desert. Fortunately, I eventually managed to get back to mine, and I'd had an idea, so I got to work on it. 5 minutes later, I started the engine and slowly began to move forward, until at last I was rolling smoothly along the track. To increase the surface area of the tyres, I'd let some air out until they were almost as flat as those on the abandoned car. If I hadn't seen them, I'd probably never have thought of it. Later that day, I reached Alice Springs. My business suit, though, was totally ruined.
That is the end of part two. Now turn to part three.